Thank him for what he's done in your life. You say, well, things aren't great right now. They haven't always not been great, right? And God will bring you through it. He is always able and willing. Thank you, Jesus, for all of your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I'm going to warn you, you better thank God for what he's done, or you're going to lose some stuff. Now listen to me, you take that in the Holy Ghost, because I feel a prophetic spirit tonight, and I feel like what comes off this pulpit tonight ought to be treated really seriously, and I don't even know how it's going to go out, to be honest with you. It dawned on me this week that people always come to Jesus for a miracle. They always wanted something, but very few worshiped him. And we go back to the 10 lepers. I wonder how often we come into the house of God wanting something, but we won't worship. Sometimes we wonder why we're stuck where we're at. Because when we get desperate, we'll go to him. And the Lord is always willing. But once he's done, they move on. Things are good. You know, people come to me and they want help or guidance for things in their life. And as soon as they get past that, they'll forget the church is even there. They conveniently forget about service times. Conveniently get too busy, but wait till the next storm comes. Oh, here they come back again. Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he does it. They're gone again. Go back to the same lifestyle. No thanks. That's our world that we live in. A very selfish, self-centered world. And listen, God don't get offended when we come to him. But the words that he spoke to the one leper ought to shake us. Weren't there nine? Why has only one come back to worship me? You can have all the disagreements you want with scripture and with theology, but you can't disagree with worship. And I'm just of the mindset, God has a way of setting things right. Listen, I told you, I just feel like there's a prophetic spirit here. There's not enough fear of the Lord in our church and in the world. There's not enough fear. We got more arrogance than we have fear. We got more pride than we have fear. When we ought to get on our face. Don't talk to me about what's wrong with the church. Ain't no one said anything, just for the record. But I read this scripture today and it hit me. And I thought, I think I got to preach that tonight. And as I started going through it, I started going through some other notes. And I just thought, no, this is it, man. I just felt it. And I just kind of feel like God wants to speak tonight. So don't talk about what your gripes and your complaints are if you won't worship the Lord. And who gives you the right to say what worship is acceptable and what worship isn't? Some of you right here today would sit beside Micah in the window and would ridicule David for his worship. You'd sit right beside her and you'd ridicule her. Well, I really feel like the Lord wants to speak to us tonight. And man, I didn't plan on coming out of the gate like that heavy. I really didn't. I forgot I didn't even dismiss the classes yet. Let me turn this carnal just for a second. Every week, there's going to be a group in every Wednesday, maybe not, selling some things. I think tonight, maybe the next week or two, the group from Conneaut is going to be back there selling some food afterwards to raise money for the trunk or treat out there. I've told all of them, I do not want you to feel obligated. I don't want our church to feel obligated to go back there and buy something every week. If you want to go back, grab some grub, go for it. You want to do something to be a blessing, be the blessing, but just don't feel obligated. I don't want to run people on the ground by asking for money every week. But they will be, and if you want to go get some food, you fasted today, or even if you didn't and you're still hungry, you can go get something. And last, before I dismiss the children's church, it's my understanding that they're still way down on people who are willing to come and help and do trunks on the 25th for the children's or the Fall Fest. And I really would hate for several hundred people like we had last year show up and there only be a handful of people. That would be a horrible representation of our church. And really, there really is no reason that every one of us here can't come and do a trunk. And I realize, you know, over half the church is not here tonight. I understand that. You say, well, I got convictions about it. Well, why don't you get some conviction about reaching the lost then? Why don't you get some conviction about going and doing some outreach? That's all I'm saying. You know, we're just trying to, we want to impact and bless our community. That's all. And so if you'll come and help, it will be greatly appreciated. We can make it a lot of fun and a huge success. Amen. So let's let the children's church be dismissed. Believe it or not, I am grateful that you're here. Don't want to come out of the gate so strong, but I just felt like, I don't know, I hadn't even thought about any of that till I walked up, so. Am I forgetting anything, Brother Tyler? It's good to see you. Fall is here. My last year owning jet skis. They're going. I can't stand seeing them sit in the driveway. You don't have time for them. They are going. They're gone. So if you want to buy them, they're for sale. And that will not change. So come see me afterwards if you're interested. I didn't plan on that either, just for the record. First Samuel chapter 4. Say one more time, I hope to get you to tune in a little bit more. This, I just feel in my gut. I don't even know where it's going completely. I don't have notes, just some scriptures, but I just feel in my gut, and I know when the Lord has something to say. 1 Samuel 4 and 1. And I don't think I sent him to you, sorry. But we'll be staying here in 1 Samuel. The word of the Lord came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. The Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army of the field, about 4,000 men. I want to preach to you for a couple minutes something that just hit me like a ton of bricks today. On just this thought, what was the word? What was the word? Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. Would you pray? Oh, gracious God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help us tonight, God, to open our ears.
God, whatever you need to speak,
help me, God, to be an obedient servant, Lord.
God, we ask that the Holy Spirit, Lord, just sweeps throughout the sanctuary, Lord. God, touching every heart and touching every mind that is willing to listen. God, to put aside the distractions of the day, Lord. God, may you just use Pastor as a mouthpiece. God, that he desires to be, Lord. God, thank you for his willingness, Lord, to speak, Lord, the word of God. God, we just thank you and we love you in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Glory, glory. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I feel like I should share this story to you. Just come into my heart. Some of you have heard this, but I'm going to say it again tonight because I feel like God is trying to get somebody's attention. In my church in Parma, we had an evangelist come in. If you've never heard this, you want to pay attention. And he came up to the platform to preach that night, and he took his shoes off and he walked up. And as the story was told to me by the individual that thought it, they thought, well, what kind of quack is this? Because I guess if you don't bark like the world and walk like the world and talk like the world, you're a quack. And so he came up, shoes off, walked up to the pulpit, and he said, somebody here has their last chance to get right with God tonight. Service went on. A man in the back said the altar call came. He sat there white-knuckled, wouldn't let go of those chairs, wouldn't budge, wouldn't come to the altar. Left, went home, got ready, went into work. Somewhere around midnight or 1 o'clock, pastor got a phone call. And it was the hospital, and they said, you need to come to the hospital. And so-and-so was in an accident, and he said, well, I don't mean to be insensitive, but it is 1 o'clock in the morning. Is it serious? And they said, he's probably not going to live. That night, that man passed away and went on to be with the Lord. God used a prophet to send a word. And based off what we can tell, he never grabbed a hold of the word, but he resisted it. When I read this, I'm going to tell you what popped out to me. Just this. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Period. Now Israel went out against the Philistines. Do you see the break there? What was the word that Samuel brought to Israel? Because the very next phrase that we read is Israel going out to battle against the Philistines. Now, we can say hindsight for a certainty that they were not instructed to go into battle. You say, well, how do you say that? Because they lost. They were smitten. The Bible says all the Philistines, and the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. When they joined the battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And so when I read this, I thought, what did Samuel say? The Bible doesn't tell us. I can assure you he didn't send them into battle. I can guarantee it. God doesn't send us to the slaughter. And it gets worse. Verse 5 says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. So their response was, go to church and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Their response was, well, let's just praise God a little louder. Let's just lift our hands a little higher. Not wrong. But something was amiss. And they never addressed what was amiss. And my theory is Samuel warned them. Now, it's important to understand that the Bible says in the word of Samuel came to Israel, not the word of the Lord, the word of Samuel. And when you go back one chapter, we find Samuel as a young man when the Lord speaks to Samuel. And you know how all that plays out? Three times he calls him till Samuel responds, and then God begins to speak to Samuel. And he even prophesied to Samuel what was going to happen to Eli and to his family because he allowed his boys to continue to live a life of wickedness and unrighteousness. And then Eli goes to Samuel and he says, what did the Lord say? He said, tell me. He said, tell me, don't you hold nothing back. If you hold anything back, he said, I pray the Lord do to you whatever that word was. Samuel wanted the truth. He didn't care how tough it was, or Eli did. And Samuel told him, you're going to die. And he said, well, The Lord's will be done. Eli was so intent on hearing what God had to say. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? Let me use the word interesting so you don't think I'm being comical. Isn't it interesting that God calls Samuel? Samuel does not know how to recognize the voice of the Lord. He has to go to Eli. And after the third time, Eli realizes God's trying to get Samuel's attention. And so Eli directs Samuel to go back and tells him what to say. And when he does, the Lord speaks. And then after all that, then God tells Samuel what he's going to do to Eli. What a weird series of events. Why didn't God just say it to Eli? Well, it's more than plausible that Eli had reached a place in his life, even though he was a man of God, but he wasn't hearing something about his boys. He wasn't receiving it, or he wasn't applying the right amount of pressure. You see, as parents, we have an obligation by God to make sure our children are living according to the word of God. Our obligation is not to make sure they have everything they want. Our obligation is not to make sure they don't get mad at us. Our obligation is not to make sure that their feelings don't get hurt. Our obligation is to make sure our children know how to hear from heaven, how to have a walk with God themselves. They know what is right and what is not, what is truth and what is not, what is righteousness and what is sin, what is immoral and what's not. That is our God-sanctioned responsibility. But we're more interested in being buddies with our children than we are preaching the truth to them and teaching them how to walk in the ways of the Lord and being the example. I don't know where Eli went wrong, but I know that God wouldn't speak to him, and I know that he's the one that told Samuel how to hear from God, and he told him how to respond, and I know that when Samuel did, God began to speak to him, and I know that he told Samuel what he was going to do to Eli, and I know that he spilled the beans to Eli off his request. And I know in the next chapter, it began with, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. The word of Samuel. Or, to put that into context, I could say to you, the word of Scott. That sounds weird even saying from the pulpit. And they went out to battle the Philistines, and they were sorely smitten. I'm not preaching at you. I'm genuinely preaching for you. What do we need God to do to get our attention? I don't know about you, but if I stray, man, God, get a hold of me. Do what you've got to do. Don't let me be lost, because once you breathe that last breath, and it's over. You're in eternity. And there is no going back. There is no I'm sorry. There's no fixing it. There's no let me know. There is no. God's going to say, I gave you the word over and over again, and you wouldn't receive it. Amen. So what has God got to do? What series of unfortunate events must take place in our lives before God can get our attention? For Israel, 4,000 people had to die. 4,000 people. 4,000 people. And then their response was not, let's go and pray and say, God, what happened? Their response was, grab the ark. Like God is a tool. Like God is a trump card. Like God is the ace in the game of cards. That's their response. And they grab the ark. There is no God. What happened? What went wrong? We don't understand. It's grab the ark, and they begin to shout so loud that the Philistines could hear them, and they begun to be afraid because of the boldness that came over them. But the boldness was not real. It was flesh. It's just like I think I might have said this on Sunday, but I never forget on 9/11, President Bush stood atop that pile of heap and he said, "We will rebuild." And that's what everybody wanted to hear. The problem was, how about let's have 30 days of prayer in our country to find out what happened and how this happened? Because if it happened, then something must be amiss somewhere. Something must be wrong. But we just say, let's rebuild. And that's, we like to hear that. We're the greatest nation on earth. Let's just rebuild and we'll show them. And since then, our nation has just been torn apart. Hatred, groups against groups, violence is at an all-time high. I read today that the cartel has put out hits on any ICE members in Chicago area. They have communicated with the gangs in Chicago. $2,000 if you just give them, if you call them up real time, they're watching, they got spotters on the roofs. $2,000, you just tell, hey, there's one down there right now. $4,000 if you can identify him and his family and his children. $10,000 if you could kill one of the higher ups within the ICE community. Why? Because they're messing with their drug empire. That's why. That's the type of violence that we're living with in our country openly. And it's getting worse. And so what do we need? Just keep champing, oh, America's the greatest nation on earth. Or is there a point where we go back and we say, God, what do we need to do? God, let's forget about America. How about your own family? You've got the greatest asset the world can ever claim. You've got the power and the glory of God on your side. If God be for me, who can be against me? But we've got to go back to the basics and say, God, what's wrong in my life? What's wrong in my home? Why are my children acting this way? Why is my family acting this way? Why does everything seem like it's wrong? I know that we go through things, but stop blaming the devil on everything. Sometimes you just gotta look at ourselves. And what did they do? They kept showing up every Sunday because churches are more interested in attendance than they are truth. They're more interested in attendance and tithing than they are having a breakthrough. They're more interested in attendance and giving than they are preaching about heaven and hell. If you want to go to heaven, you need to be here Sunday because my title is, Do You Want to Go to Heaven? That's it. Nothing more and nothing less. What was the word that should gnaw at us? That should cause us to be shaken because God blesses us every week with a word. And do we do as the Philistines do? Do we just go on with life like nothing ever happened? No change, nothing. I don't know, I'm asking you. What I don't want to do is I don't want to respond the way the Israelites responded. I don't want to just show up and let's, come on, Pastor, let's shout the walls down today. I want to make sure I'm right first. And I'm going to shout the walls down with everybody. I believe it. I love it. We'll run. We'll jump. We'll jump over the bumps on the logs. I don't care. We'll dance around the doubters. It don't matter to me. But sometimes I just want to say, God, have I done everything that I was supposed to do? I need to hear from heaven. I need to hear from heaven. And when the word comes from the preacher, don't close your ears and say, well, I'll wait for a word from God. When God gives me a word, you ain't going to get no word from God. Because if you can't hear the prophets who he sent before you, you will not hear if the Lord himself came to you. And that's exactly what Abraham said to the rich man when he said, please send preachers back to my family. Send Moses back. And he said, if they will not receive the prophets who they have with them now, though one would come back from the dead, they will not receive them. Because God knows there's nothing that can shake an unshakable person. Now, let me put your mind at ease. I'm not feeling like everybody here is going to hell. I'm not feeling like everybody here is living in sin. Tell you what I am feeling. If you go back, if you take the time, one less Instagram video, one less Facebook post, and go back and look at all the messages in the last six Sundays, and you're going to find something aligning. It's not by plan. It's not by design. It's just way, and it's about trust and relationship, relationship and trust. Last Sunday was what? About Batman. If you want to know more, go back and listen to it. It was about trusting God. The Sunday before that was, can God trust us? God is trying to get our attention because God is ready to move this ship along. God is ready to take it somewhere that it's never been. And God is ready to fill every seat that needs to be filled. But God is trying to talk to us, and we can't continue to go as business as usual. There's got to be some people that will get serious and get down on their knees and say, God, not him and not her, not him and not her, but me. Am I doing everything you want me to do? Am I hearing when you're trying to speak? Am I surrendering and yielding? Or am I going out there in the world and facing all the battles of the adversary, thinking I'm speaking the name of Jesus like it's candy, but I'm not listening? And so, verse 9. Now listen, you're having a bad day when the devil tries to encourage all the demons of hell against you. The Philistine said, be strong and quit yourselves like men. Act like men. He said, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought. And I will say, after that Holy Ghost service, after we shouted the walls down, because they grabbed the Ark of God and they just shouted and danced, after all that, Israel was smitten. Israel was smitten. And they fled. Now, understand, trying to cross all my T's and dot all my I's. I'm not suggesting that we don't worship and shout the walls down. I'm suggesting there are seasons and there are times when God says, I'm trying to speak to you and you're not hearing what I have to say. It doesn't mean there's anything grand wrong in our lives. It just could mean God is trying to correct course. God is trying to right some wrongs. He's trying to get this ship floating. He's trying to get it moving. He's trying to get it turning from its original course and onto the course that God, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. Israel was smitten and they fled, every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. Now watch this. So originally they lose 4,000 and they say, well, let's just go to church and we'll just pray harder. We'll worship harder. We'll shout louder. And they did. And then they lost 30,000. Why? Worship is supposed to be unto the Lord. You don't shout walls down unless the Lord tells you to march around the walls and shout them down. That's the lesson of Ai. Sometimes God says, I want you to hear what the prophet has to say. The word of Samuel came to the Israelites. I can only wonder what word has come to this congregation in the last couple months, to individuals that you have dismissed, discarded, not enacted, not done what God has said. No huge, tremendous crime, but it would be foolish to continue to try and go forward just like everything's fine if we have not done what God has told us to do. I wish I knew what word Samuel brought to the Philistines. And you know what? We'll probably never know. You know why? Because if we don't want it, God says no problem. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, or Phinehas, however you want to read it, was slain. Think about that. You know what? I want to put that into context. I won't be a whole lot longer. They kept worshiping. They kept shouting louder. Nothing changed. They shouted louder until one day they no longer could shout because their shout was taken from them, or their children were taken from them, or something in their life was taken from them. They grabbed that ark of God and they danced and they shouted. You know what the enemy did? Came and took the ark of God. You know what the enemy will do? When we misuse the power and the presence of God, he'll take your worship right away. He'll steal it from you. He'll wreck your life. All because Samuel said something on behalf of the Lord and they didn't listen. Verse 20. About the time of her death, forgive me, I don't remember if it was Hophni or Phinehas' wife. The woman stood by her and said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. When we are not where God wants us, it just seems no matter what is birthed in the spirit, it won't fix anything. No matter what sermon is preached, no matter who the sermon comes from, no matter who the preacher is, doesn't matter if it's your old worn-out pastor or if it's the greatest evangelist that America can give to us, no matter what is birthed in the spirit, there's just no joy or nothing to go along with it. Why? Because we see what disobedience or an unwillingness to receive the word of God does. It wrecks us. I'm going to go on record and say this because I feel like I should. I know we got a couple babies getting ready to be born. I'm going to go on record. I'm going to say, you better make sure you're where God wants you or your child may suffer. It's on recording. And you can't come back and cry and whine to God later. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of them. I just felt like I needed to say it. She answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod. How would you like to name your child after the most what would be the right word? Heartbreaking time of your life or experience of your life. She lost her husband. She lost her father-in-law. And if you want to go back and read it, if you've never really read this text, they come to Eli and they tell him Israel's been smitten and they're scattered. And they say, and your two sons, Eli, or Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And he says, what of the ark of God? Didn't even bat an eye about his children. Why? We can live with losing loved ones, but we cannot live without the presence and the power of God. What of the ark? And they said, the ark was taken. Give me a chair. Bible says he was sitting in a chair because he was almost blind. He was, what, 98, was it? He was in his 90s. And he's sitting in the chair. Now, stand behind me. Don't let me. And this is what I picture. She says, the ark of God was taken. He says, oh, my God. And he went back and he broke his neck. Not when your sons were taken or killed. Not because Israel was smitten sorely in the battle and scattered, but when he heard the presence of God was gone, he couldn't live without it. I don't know how people live without the presence of God. I don't want to live without the presence of God. You can take your dead carcass and you can call it hype. You can call it whatever you want to make yourself feel good because you're too much of a coward to surrender to God. But I tell you, it's the presence and the power and the richness of God. And there's no place I would rather be. I don't want to be in church. I want to be in his presence. I want to be under his anointing. I want to hear his rich word go forward. We're not in church. This is not where we come to feel good, even though we do oftentimes. It's not where we come to get what we're looking for, but it's where we come to be changed. It's where we come to be saved. It's where we come to receive the word, the written word, the spoken word, the prophetic word. And it can be spoken all you want, but if it's not received, it's as good as nothing to that individual. I know the word won't return void. That means there's somebody out there, but it's not just for somebody. It's for everybody. It's for all people. She calls her child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband." What was the word? What is the word that God has brought to you and you forgot it? You haven't acted upon it. You haven't done anything with it. You know what you should do. You run. You stay out of church because you're not doing what you should do. And it's easier to hide Adam and Eve than it is to confront the presence of God. But God doesn't shame us. He doesn't guilt us. He just keeps trying and trying and trying. Why? Because I would that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Samuel, I don't know if God will let you hear me or not, but if he would, I would love to know what that word was. What did you say that they just ignored and they ran into battle like they were undefeatable, like they were invincible? And then after the first loss, they grabbed the ark of God and they just worshiped like nothing was wrong. And they lost more and again until a great tragedy. The man of God was taken. His children were taken. His own wife couldn't even bear the birth of her child, couldn't even rejoice, and named him after her misery and her sorrow. What was the word? I wonder if you'd stand with me for a moment. Lord, if I have missed anything that you've tried to bring to me, if I have not acted upon anything that you've tried to bring to me, if I have not done according to your word, I know, every man knows, deep down inside, we know what we should be doing. Listen to me. Calamity befell Israel. I feel with all of my heart tonight, and I'm on record, so I'm not going to hide from it, that somebody here will deal with the fallout of your disobedience and your unwillingness to receive the word. I feel that. I feel it. That's not a threat. I'm not God. I have nothing to do with it. But I feel, here's the word. What will you do? Will you go home and think you can keep fighting the world just like you did yesterday? Will you be like Samson where you get up and you say, I'll break these cords like every other time? But Samson forgot the word. He forgot the word, or he chose to ignore the word. God is not trying to scare us, even though the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God, somebody here, is going to pay a high price of disobedience if they continue to refuse. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I don't have a person in mind. It doesn't matter. I'm just relaying God. Maybe that was the word that Samuel brought. Maybe, just maybe, Samuel said, if you go forward into battle, you're going to lose. Oh, God is on our side. Who are you to tell me you're not the only one God speaks to? You're not over us. You're there as an advisor. Maybe, I don't know. But boy, I'll bet you it was something close to that. And they recklessly ran into battle. 4,000 die. They go back. They grab the ark. Why? Because to humble yourself means swallowing pride. And sometimes we'd rather die than humble ourselves. And so they just thought, I'll show you. Me and Jesus have a walk. I'll just shout louder. And more calamity. More trouble. Until the end. The only thing that was birthed during that time was named after the misery and the suffering and the pain that she was experiencing. God, I'm done. I hope that I have relayed your word appropriately. And if I have done anything, Father, that has been disobedient to your word, I repent in front of this congregation. And I will do my very best to right every wrong. Because more than anything, I want you to be pleased. More than anything, I want your words, God, to enrich my spirit, to guide my path, to lead me every day. When I wake up, let your word be the first thing in my heart. When I go about my day, come to me from time to time with a word. Whatever it is, encouragement, correction, reminder, whatever. And when I go to bed, God, I want to remember that I prayed for you to cover my family that day and you did just that. I want to remember, God, how good you've been to me. I want the last thoughts in my mind
to me
be how great is our God. How great, Jesus.
Your presence is heaven.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We need your covering, oh God. We need your covering, oh God. I don't want to step foot into this world without having your covering. I don't want to fight my Philistines, God, if you're not with me.
Yes, it is. It's your presence is heaven to me. Oh, there's nothing like your presence. Oh, yes, your presence is heaven to me. Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Oh, Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Oh, your presence, your presence is heaven to me. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrongs. Holder of my future days to come. Oh, your presence. But nothing in this world will satisfy. It's Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Oh, Jesus. Cause Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Oh, your presence is heaven to me.
I want to give you a nugget to take home with you. Three chapters later, the Bible says, and Samuel spoke unto the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And the Bible says they did. And over time, here comes Saul, and then comes David. And David becomes another deliverer for Israel. 47 to 50 years later, David would go and he would take the ark and bring it back into Jerusalem. Long time. But the point is, it came back. You don't have to leave walking on your chin and saying, oh, see, I always screw up. God don't want me. You just got to do something about it now. And if you do it, God will continue to do what he does. But we got to be serious about it. I don't know how the Lord's speaking to you tonight, but I pray that you'll take this and I pray that you will use it. Let it be a springboard. Colin, come up and pray for us as we close. And I want you to pray over this as we close.
Let's pray together, church. God, I thank you for the wonderful word that you've brought to us today. I pray that it would saturate our spirits and that your love, God, would overwhelm us. I pray that we would keep this in the back of our minds, Jesus, or that we'd live it every day, God, remembering it, making an effort to remember it, Jesus. May we take this as prophecy from you, Lord. May we take this as if you came down on earth and spoke it yourself. I pray that we take it seriously and we would not be lighthearted about your word that you're trying to bring forth. Because this could have been a Samuel moment in our own lives, and we could be walking into travesty if we don't take it as serious as we should. I pray that you would speak to us, God, but more importantly, would we have open ears, God? Would we have open hearts and minds? I pray that we would get serious in our prayer lives and serious about reading the Bible and understanding its commandments, Jesus. May we all travel home safely, Lord, and we thank you and we give you all the glory and the honor. Thank you for the chastisement. Thank you for the hard times and for the good times, Jesus. We love you, and in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.